produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
The Mommy Meltdown. My name is Dorothy Gates, and I am your happy host on this Friday. And my goodness, can you believe the weather we have been having? I don't know where you are, where you're tuning in from, but here in the South of Mississippi, we have experienced a winter that has been a winter of all winters. We've had snow and ice and beautiful, beautiful cold weather. And anyway, I hope the weather is nice where you are. I know a lot of people have experienced some very dramatic weather as far as like power outages and water pipes freezing and busting and just a lot of traumatic events going on. So my hope and my thought and prayers is that everyone is doing well, you're safe, you're able to stay warm wherever you are. And that no matter what you're going through, you're staying focused on the Lord. I know I shared with you the last time we were together, it's easy in these seasons of life to kind of be distracted by just circumstances and seasons of life. And so no matter what you're going through, just keep your eyes focused on Him. Continue to trust in Him, and He will bring you through that storm of life. You can weather it through Him. You can't do it in your own strength. There's no way. And when you have your eyes focused on the situation, that's all you're going to see is the situation. But when you put your eyes on Him, you'll be able to trust him and know that he's in control of the storm. So just a quick reminder of wherever you are, whatever you're going through, the Lord knows and he's right there with you, my sweet friends. So just keep your trust in him. So here on the Mommy Meltdown, we have been going through the book Distracted because we have talked about how as a mom, there's probably no bigger struggle that we have to fight every single day than being distracted. We get distracted by things pulling and tugging at us for our attention, and we set the day off so strong just to find out that we ended up nowhere where we intended to end by the end of the day, and we've accomplished none of our goals. So, through the book Distracted, we're just reminding ourselves that we don't want to get so busy doing good things that we begin to neglect the important things. And today we're in the chapter number 13 where it's called Distracted by Derailments. And let me tell you, friends, every single one of us in our life, we are going to experience time in our life where we are derailed. Now, it could be that just during the day, maybe you feel like you have failed as a mom. Maybe you snapped at your kid, or you got so distracted you didn't accomplish anything you wanted to do that day. Maybe you feel like you derailed during that day. You know, you like totally slipped off course and you did not end up where you were anticipating. And it's easy to focus on those shortcomings. But I kind of want to talk about a bigger derailment. You know, like we get derailed from our goals, or we get derailed from our callings, or we get derailed maybe due to health or heartbreak. And those derailments literally leave us completely off course. And I want to tell you a story about one time when I was in college. A friend of mine and I headed off to the mall, and we loved going to the mall. Of course, in my day, I didn't have any money. Neither did my friend. Like I said, I was in college and didn't have much money to spend, but we just enjoyed the time of walking in the mall, going window shopping, enjoying the fellowship, going to lunch, all the fun things that girls do. And on the way home, a storm very quickly hit. Like, there was no warning. It was 1 minute we're driving, we're laughing, we're giggling, having a wonderful, merry old time with the sunshine in our eyes. And then the very next moment, a deep, heavy black cloud is over us, dumping down rain just tremendously on top of us. And so, you know, my windshield wipers are just chugging as quickly as they can, going back and forth, trying to keep up with the rain. And being young, honestly, we were completely clueless to the potential danger that could lie ahead. All we knew is we were having a good time and we were driving. We continued to drive in the rain without a care in the world. And I remember very clearly, I went up a hill, and it was coming down the hill when all of a sudden my car hit a large puddle of water. The puddle just seemed to like come from nowhere. I mean, it was just there. And my car began to hydroplane. I very quickly lost control of the car. My car just, you know, if you've ever hit a hydro, if you've ever, your car has ever hydroplaned, you know, there's really not much you can do. Before I knew it, we were off the road, headed off the road and into a very large ditch. It was one of those ditches that literally I look back and I'm amazed that we didn't flip the car or anything else worse happened. But I could remember instantly our giggles turned into screams and shrieks of terror as we lost control of the car and we're heading into a ditch. And I think we both braced ourselves for an impact of something we didn't know what to expect, whether we were going to hit a tree or the car might flip or, you know, things like that. We kind of just were ready for the impact, and all of a sudden the car just stopped. It just completely stopped. And I truly believe it was like an angel just kind of stood in front of the car and put his hand out and said, okay, stop. And my car stopped. And we just kind of sat in the car for a moment, just trying to breathe and gather our thoughts and Then I got out in the pouring rain to assess the damage, if anything had been done, and nothing had been done other than my car was kind of just stuck in mud, and it was down a ditch that I knew would be impossible for me to get out. Now, I want you to keep in mind, this was years before cell phones, so I had no way to just grab my phone and call someone. But very luckily, and I say luckily, I think it was the Lord, the providence of God, there was a police car not far behind me, and it seemed like just out of nowhere, the police officer came out to check on us and was able to call in a tow truck to have us towed out. And he was able to tow us out. We were back in our car, back on the road, as if nothing had happened. Other than, I lost some money that day for having to be towed out. And I was dripping, soaking wet, and my car was covered in mud. Those were the only signs of the danger that we had gone through. Now, what I'm talking about is distracted by derailments. In that moment, you go through a lot of things that you later look back and think, wow, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. In that moment, I didn't realize the danger that was ahead of me. Being clueless, young and clueless. But looking back now, I think, you know, I should have been prepared. I should have been prepared for the storm. I should have had my guard up. I should have been aware of the potential danger. And that's what I want to tell you, ladies. In order to not be distracted by a storm, you have to be prepared for the storm. We as women kind of have that sixth sense, I guess you could say. We've got that women's intuition where we kind of know when something's coming. And we've all heard the saying, if you're not in a storm right now, you will be in a storm. Or if you're not coming out of a storm, you're going into a storm. Storms are part of our life. There's nothing we can do about it. We just can't go through this life thinking that bad things aren't going to happen to us because we're good people. No, bad things happen to everyone. They happen to the good. They happen to the bad. And storms, trials, hardships, sicknesses, death, burdens, heartbreak, disappointments, all of these, unfortunately, are part of this first world. And storms are going to come, just kind of like this snowstorm that we had. We were able to prepare for the snowstorm. We had warnings. We saw the predictions, and we were able to prepare by getting food and water and space heaters and generators, and we were able to prepare for it. Looking back now, had I paid attention and been prepared that a storm was coming, I would have been prepared on what to do when I saw that puddle. I would not have plowed through that puddle like my car was just going to ski on top of it. Now looking back, I would have gone around the puddle, or I would have slowed down and driven through that puddle at a very cautious and wise speed. But we in our life can prepare for things. Does not mean we know what's going to come. It doesn't mean we know exactly how to handle it. It doesn't mean we know how we're going to respond. It just means that we're prepared. And the only way we can prepare spiritually for any type of a storm is to make sure we are walking with the one who prepares the storm. Are you listening to me, ladies? We don't know what lies ahead, but we know the one who has planned what lies ahead. You see, God goes before us and He makes the way. God goes before us and He plans the path. And if we're walking through Him, walking in Him and walking with Him, He can prepare us for everything that lies ahead. You can't control the storm from coming your way, but you can prepare how you respond. Listen, when that storm hits, how are you going to handle it? Are you going to shatter and break when that heavy load is dumped on you? Are you going to run in doubt and fear? Will you be overcome with bitterness from the aftermath of the storm? How are you going to react? Will you hand it over to the Lord and stand strong in your faith in Him? Will you trust in His words and cling to His promises? Will you run to Him? Or will you run from Him? You know, I can't help but think of a very well-known storm in the Bible, one that we've all heard about. And that was the storm when the disciples were in the boat. And in the midst of the storm, they saw Jesus walking to them. And I think about Peter and how Peter saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And instead of waiting for Jesus to come to the boat, because Jesus was coming to them, and all the other disciples were waiting for Jesus to come to them, Peter, out of his love for the Lord, overzealous personality, I'm going to Him. I'm going to the Lord. And he does. He gets out and he steps out in faith and he goes to the Lord. But we know what happens. Very quickly, Peter becomes distracted by the storm. It could have been a huge lightning bolt struck right in front of him. It could have been a crash of thunder that was so loud it made his heart completely just stop beating. Or it could have been a huge wave separated him from the Lord and he couldn't see the Lord. I don't know. It could have been the voices of the disciples calling him back in, saying, Peter, don't go. You're going to die. Peter, get back in the boat. What are you thinking? Peter, you're a moron. I don't know what it was that distracted Peter, but within a moment, Peter began to sink. But the gold nugget here is that immediately Peter called unto the Lord, and the Bible says that Jesus immediately reached for Peter and rescued him and brought him up. And then Peter and the Lord began to walk back to the boat. And I can't help but wonder, what was that conversation like when Peter and the Lord walked back to the boat? My thought is that there was a close bondness between the two of them. There was a love that Peter had for the Lord that no one else had experienced in that moment. And here's a point I want you to think about. All the other disciples witnessed what had happened. They saw what had happened, but Peter experienced what happened. So see, two big differences. You can witness things, you can see things for yourself, or you can go out and experience it. And we see that Peter experienced it. He went out there. He did it. So when Peter and Jesus walked back, I can imagine that the love that Peter felt for the Lord in that moment was bigger and stronger than it had ever been. And ladies, I truly believe when we come back from a storm, when we come back from a moment of being derailed and distracted and defeated, and we're back on track and we're walking back with the Lord, that there is a love for the Lord that cannot be explained or expressed any way. Like there's just a personal experience that you feel that you would have never had you never been derailed or defeated. If you'd have never had to put your faith in God and yelled out, Lord, save me. So just a few things that I take from this little passage of Peter walking on the water and the Lord walking back with Peter back to the boat. First, we see that there was a storm. There was a storm. Okay, and that shows us that even the disciples went through hard times. Even those closest to the Lord experienced difficult situations. But two, I see that Peter had faith to walk to God in the midst of that storm. So ladies, in the midst of that storm, walk to God, call out to Him, lean on Him, draw closer to Him. Number three, Peter became distracted by the storm. And you know what? If Peter is going to be the one who walked with the Lord personally, the one who saw Him perform miracle after miracle, I truly believe that we as well will become distracted by our storms. That's why it's so important that you keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's exactly what Peter did. The moment he got his eyes off the Lord, he began to sink. The minute he saw the storm and the situation and the circumstance, he began to think it was impossible. He began to sink. He began to wallow in self-pity and in the circumstance. But then he put his eyes on Jesus and called out to the Lord. And what happened? Peter cried unto Jesus for help. Jesus immediately reached out.
Then I see that the one who controls the storm also calms the storm. And listen, whatever you're going through in your life, maybe it's a storm that's just not stopping. Just remember, in God's time, when God knows his time, God will calm the storm in your life as well. Whatever's going on, my dear sisters, the one who controls the storm, who started the storm, controls the storm, who calms the storm.
And then my favorite point, my favorite part in this whole story is they walked back together to the ship. And God wants to take you back to where you were, stronger than when you started. I truly believe that Peter's faith grew leaps and bounds in that moment. He had a personal love for the Lord that no one else in that boat got to experience. And that's amazing. I can't imagine the amount of faith it would take to leave the safety of that boat in the midst of a storm and walk to Jesus. He started his journey so strong and courageous, just like many of us do. We start off strong, determined, and courageous. He had his eyes on Jesus. He was set out on a mission, but very quickly became distracted by everything around him. He got his eyes off the Lord, and he began to sink. And when we take our eyes off the Lord, we begin to sink too. But how quickly, when we call unto the Lord, does he pull us out? You know, the verse in the Bible that says he pulls us out of the miry clay. We're hopeless. In a sinking situation, he pulls us up and he sets us
on the mountaintops.
So, you know, it's easy to criticize Peter. You know, Peter, what were you thinking? You had your mind in other places. You should have kept your eyes on the Lord. And how more amazing would your experience have been if you'd have just kept your eyes on the Lord? But listen, as far as I know, he's the only disciple, the only human who's ever walked on water. So we can't be too critical of Peter because he's walked on water. Have you? I know I haven't. So however, the faith he initially had was not enough to carry him through. So he had enough faith to start off, but he didn't have enough faith to continue the journey. So just remember, your faith will be tested. There will be times in life where you're going to face a trial or a tribulation, and that's those moments of testing to see if your heart is really in tune with the Lord. Not saying you won't ever question the Lord, no, but just knowing that you depend on the Lord when the time matters, just like Peter did. And the moment that he started sinking, he cried out for Jesus. He had the faith he needed to call on the one who could help him. No, beautiful. Just so beautiful. So the first thing we need to remember is we got to prepare for the storm. The next thing I want to say is watch out for those puddles. Okay? I said it a minute ago. And I paid attention to that large puddle that was in the midst of my lane. I might have prevented the whole ditch experience. I may have never ended up in that ditch. I saw the puddle, but it just never crossed my mind to avoid the puddle. I just plowed straight into it. Again, part of that was because I was careless and I was not mature enough to be aware of my surroundings. Nowadays, let me tell you, whole different scenario. You get a little bit of age experience and a child in your car, and you're aware of every little puddle on the road. But you know, that reminds me that the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Listen, we need to be reminded that we should be mindful and alert. We should be watchful and wide awake to the danger that lies ahead. Oh, excuse me. I got a sneeze coming through. We need to watch out for the danger. We need to watch out for the potential hazards that lay ahead of us. Our enemy is always on the lookout, waiting for those golden opportunities to set up puddles, pitfalls, potholes, detours, derailments. Listen, the Bible says very clearly that he wants to devour you like a lion would devour its prey. So we have to watch out. Now, I want you to think about the synonyms for devour, that word devour. Demolish, dispose of, consume, eat up, destroy, devastate, annihilate, engulf, ravage. All right, and then how about this one? Ruin. Do you think it was an accident that Peter used the word devour? Absolutely not. I truly believe that he knows that the devil wants to devour us. He wants us to slip into those puddles, to plow through those puddles, unaware of the potential slips and slides and potholes and the damage that could cause us to be detoured and delayed, get us off track. But ultimately, his main purpose is to completely derail us. He's not just looking to trip you up on your journey or to set you off course. No, he wants to completely derail you and destroy you. But isn't it beautiful that we're not on this journey alone? Just like God was with me that day I was in the ditch and had a police officer there ready to assist me and help me and offer me encouragement and a solution. That's how the Lord works. The Lord is right there, ready to help you and assist you and offer you a solution. He is your protector, your guide, your ally. He goes before you and prepares the path. He's promised that he'll never leave you or forsake you. He never leaves you stranded. He never abandons you. He never forgets about you. He's with you every step of the way. And we have this beautiful promise in Deuteronomy 31:8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. One more thing I want to say is, ladies, put up those guardrails. Guardrails are set in place to prevent people from falling off the road or being hit by something else. They are intended to reduce the risk of a serious accident. That day, if there had been a guardrail, I wouldn't have slipped off the road. I would have hit the guardrail, and I would have probably saved a whole lot of money and time. So just like drivers need guardrails, you need a guardrail in your life to protect you. And that's where the Bible comes in. That Bible is there to set up guidelines for you to keep you safe. I'm going to go. I love you. Blessings. And I'll see you next time on Mommy Meltdown.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You are now tuning in to the What Now God radio show. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. And as usual, we're going to start off with Romans chapter 12, 1 through 8. And it goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and those members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. And let the church say amen. Hello and welcome back. Welcome back to this week's episode of the What Now God Radio Show. Hello, I am your host, Cheryl Woods. Thank you so much for tuning in. For those of you who do not know me, I am the author of the book, My Life Was Falling Apart, But It Was God Putting Me Back Together. You can get that on Amazon.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. I have an on-time topic for you on this week. And as you know, for What Now God Radio Show, we attempt to answer the question, what now God? What now God do we do in the face of everything that's going on within us, in the world, and in those of our the lives of our loved ones? So as we attempt to answer the question today, what now God? I want to give you a little bit of encouragement. And we're going to focus on the topic. Today's topic will be God has not forgot about you. God has not forgot about you. So sit back, relax, make sure to share this broadcast out with a friend as we get into a word of encouragement for today's show. God has not forgot about you. So there are three things that I want you to remember to all of my lovely listeners. Three things to remember when you're thinking that God has just forgotten about you, when you think that you have not seen the answer to your prayers, or you're just going through some things, whatever the cause is, God has not forgot about you. So number one, the first thing that I want you to remember is that just because we don't see God working, it does not mean He's not, okay? We cannot lean on our own understanding. We can't try to figure God out. Remember, the word tells us that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. I don't know about you, but I would rather trust God, knowing that He's got it, knowing that He's got me, than to rack my brain, my mind, and my spirit trying to figure things out on my own, right? So what does that mean when we say lean not on your own understanding? That just means that there are some things that are just not going to make sense to us, all right? We're humans. We're human beings, right? And unfortunately, there are emotions that come into play. There are our own past experiences that mold our understanding of what's going on in our lives. That's what's going on in the world. You know, everything from the pandemic to health issues to issues on the job, relationship issues, whatever it is that you're dealing with that's forcing you to ask that question, what now, God? we're only looking at them from our human mind, from our natural mind, right? But there's a spiritual warfare taking place. God is spirit. And yes, God's spirit lives in us. But sometimes it's hard for us to tap into that supernatural. It's hard for us to say, you know what? Let me take my hands off of this problem. Let me take my focus off of this problem. And what do? We get caught up in depression. We get caught up in the woe is me, in the fear, in the doubt that God has forgotten about us, thinking that he has just forgotten about us. What am I going to do now? Well, we're not going to lean on our own understanding. We're going to trust that God is working all things together for our good, right? We're going to believe that just because we don't understand what's going on, that God has not forgotten us. He still got us. So number one is to not lean on your own understanding. And remember, God is working it out for you. No matter what your situation looks like, no matter what bad things that you're going through that's troubling your heart, your mind, your body, and your spirit, saints, God has not forgotten about you. So know without a doubt that He is working it out. So number two, I want you to remember that last time, praise God, that last time that God came through for you, okay? After all the tears, the hurt, the fear of you trying to do things your way, we've all been there, okay? Even to the point of sometimes turning our backs on God, when we're on the verge of just giving up, then bam, like out of nowhere, right? God shows up and He shows out. Remember the last time that God came through for you. Remember the last time that He answered your prayer, right? That you prayed and prayed. You got on your knees and you asked God to help you out. You asked God to provide. You asked God to heal. You asked God to save you. Remember that last time. Remember that joy, that peace that surpasses all understanding, right? He is still the same God. He's the same God who helped you out before, who saved you so many times. He has the power to do it again. All right? Let's stop forgetting all of the things that we have to be thankful for. If you're suffering from remembering the last time that God showed up and showed out for you, I challenge you right now. I challenge you to get out a list and write down every single thing that you are thankful for, whether it's today, whether it's yesterday, and then even go into the future. Start manifesting, believing, seeing those things that you want God to change in your lives, those things that you want God to bless you with. Write them down. Start getting happy. Be joyful, right? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember the last time that God came through for you, because if He did it then, He can do it again. What God has for you is for you. It may be delayed. It may not come as we want it to come, right? Because a lot of times God answers our prayers and it doesn't look like anything that we thought it would look like, right? We ask for a new job and God gives us our own business. We ask for more money and God gives us ideas on how to make the money. We ask for a new house and God sends us someone who is going to clean up our credit so that we can get that new house, right? So there's so many ways that God will come through for us. We just have to remember that if He did it then, He's going to do it again, right? God has not forgot about you. He has not forgot. So that first thing to remember is, just because you don't see Him working doesn't mean He's not, right? We can't lean on our own understanding. The second thing is to remember that last time that God came through for you. Write it down. Write down a list of your blessings, those things that you are thankful for, those people that God has placed in your life that have blessed your socks off, okay? The angels that He has encamped around us that have saved us from danger, that have healed us, that have kept us out of harm's way, right? remember the last time that God came through. I'm telling you, if I could just thank God for everything that he's done for me, I would be thanking him for the rest of my life. And let me tell you, I plan to be old and gray in my hundreds on a rocking chair, in a rocking chair on my porch with my husband, old and gray, watching our kids and grandkids at the family reunion. So if I would write down everything, it would take a lifetime for me to thank God for everything that he has done, everything that he is doing, and everything that I know without a doubt that he is going to do, that he has yet still to do in my life. I pray somebody catch this. Somebody get excited right now just because of the fact that God has not forgot about you. You've been praying. You've been asking God to send you a sign. You've been asking God to make a way out of no way. Some of you have not even had the strength to pray. Some of you, God has counted your tears. He has listened to your sighs. And he knows, without even you uttering a word, he knows what you need. He knows what you're going through, right? God has not forgot about you. I promise you, he has not forgot about you. So, number three, the third thing that I want you to do, and this is probably the most powerful thing that you can do, and that is to rejoice and praise him through it all, okay? Let me say that again. Rejoice and praise God through it all. No matter what things look like in the physical world, no matter what you're going through, no matter who let you down, no matter who counted you out, no matter who broke your heart, who lied on you, stole from you, cheated on you, okay, deceived you, no matter what they said about you that you know wasn't true, no matter how many jobs let you go, no matter how many people told you no, right? No matter how many times your loved ones have let you down, hurt your feelings, I want you to rejoice and praise him through it all. And yes, it is easier said than done. But honey, practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. You have to get some of that good news in your spirit. Practice being genuinely happy, you guys. When you see others getting blessed, why? Because not we want to praise God for all of his blessings, even if it's not directly connected to us. But when you see others getting blessed, know without a doubt that your time is coming too. Be happy for them. Praise God for them. He is an awesome God. Whether he's blessing me or blessing someone else, I have learned to be happy, because guess what? If he did it for them, I know he can do it for me. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So be happy. Get some good news in your spirit, right? Surround yourself with those people who know how to pray. Sometimes you need to connect with some prayer words. Maybe you need to join a Bible study, right? Maybe you need to get online and find a church or your own church that does online services or online Bible study. Maybe you need to purchase a book, right? Or download a book if you have Kindle that's going to teach you how to pray, that's written by someone who knows how to pray. If you have not yet watched the movie War Room, ladies and gentlemen, watch the movie War Room. I pray it will bless you. I tell you, I know it will bless you. And it's going to teach you how to pray on a different level to where, whew, my God. Just watch the movie. I'm not even going to say anymore. Watch the movie War Room. If you're having trouble, if you're struggling to pray, if you're struggling not seeing answers to your prayer, watch the movie War Room, all right? Because we have to learn, you guys. We have to learn how to praise God through it all. I'm talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly, all right? We have to rejoice because God is on our side. And he cannot fail. I learned a long, long time ago, and I pray that you guys take this lesson and run with it. But one plus God is always the majority. So one plus God is always the majority. So as long as God is on your side, you are going to win. You are going to come out victorious. There is nothing and no one, not a devil in hell, not a person on earth, not a situation, a disease, nothing that can stand against you with God on your side. One plus God is always the majority. So learn how to rejoice through the good times, especially the good times. We should be thanking God. But when those bad times hit, when those storms of life come, when we don't know what to do or what to pray, learn to praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for bringing me out of this storm. Thank you for blessing my life. Thank you for blessing my loved ones. Thank you for healing. Thank you for providing. Learn to praise God. Hallelujah. The highest praise, right? And I get excited right now because, whew, my God, God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we praise God, we have to rest assured he is there in our midst. And like I said before, he is working it out. So three things, let me recap. Those three things that I want you to remember, those three things that you cannot forget when it comes to knowing without a doubt that God has not forgot about you. Number one, just because you don't see him working does not mean he isn't. He is working it out for your good. Number two is to remember the last time that God came through for you. God has done a great thing in your life. He has blessed you. He has saved you. He has put his very life on the line for you. So remember that last time that God came through for you and be confident that he will come through again and again and again. You get it? Praise God. And number three, rejoice and praise him through it all. Get some good news in your spirit, some prayer warriors around you. Surround yourself with those who know how to pray and praise God. And rejoice, because with God on your side, he cannot fail, right? So I just wanted to come here on today's episode as we talk about the topic, God has not forgot about you. Because if you look at the world, let's be honest, if you look at what's going on, it's easy to get discouraged. It's easy to think that God has just washed his hands of all of us, right? And said, forget these people, forget these, this, you know, this world. But I'm here to encourage you. And as we ask the question, what now, God? What do we do now that we are going through all this mess and this stress and the struggles? And the world seemingly done went crazy. What now, God? Now that COVID-19 is wreaking havoc on the world. What now, God? What now that I've lost my job? That money is low. The bills are piling up high. What now, God? Now that I am feeling all alone. Lost family, friends, and forced to make sense of it all on my own. What now, God? Well, I'm going to tell you exactly the answer that Jesus gave when him and the disciples were on that boat in the midst of a raging storm. Now, a lot of you know this story, right? While Jesus slept, the disciples, I'm sure they were racked with fear. The waves were crashing all around them, probably rain, thunder, and lightning crashing all around them. And I'm sure in their hearts, in their human hearts, right? Because we're all human. I know they must have been thinking, this is the end. They didn't have their mother or father to call on. And in that fear and that doubt, not knowing what was going to come, right? What did the disciples do? They woke Jesus up. And they said to him, they said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Imagine, just put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Imagine you being in that boat. You know, he's just preached Jesus. You just witnessed Jesus preaching to the masses. He's speaking in parables. Some of it you may understand, some of it you may not, but you know that you're in the presence of the master. And you guys go out on this boat, and the master, our savior, Christ himself, Jesus Christ, is sleeping peacefully while the storm is raging around you. He's sleeping peacefully while the storm is raging around you. Now, I know a lot of you have been in that same predicament, right? And they asked, they woke Jesus up and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" I mean, to me, it's like the audacity. Y'all asking Jesus, don't he care? But hey, we're only human and we all have those thoughts. We all have those doubts, right? So Jesus got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, "Peace, be still." Let me say that again. Woo, my God, catch that. It's so powerful. He got up from his sleep and rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Peace, be still." And the wind died down, y'all, and it was completely calm, like the storm had never happened, right? Jesus told those waves what to do and how to do it, and they had no choice to obey, right? He calmed the storm. So I say to you right now that no matter what storm that you're going through, Jesus loves you so much. And if you're asking Jesus, "Don't you care, teacher? Do you care if we drown?" We're drowning out here. It seems like we're drowning. Yes, Jesus cares. And God has not forgotten about you. He still has the power to calm every and any storm that is raging in you or around you. So be encouraged. Be blessed. And just take a moment out of your day to thank God. To thank God for all that he's done, to thank God for all that he's doing. Be encouraged, be encouraged, be encouraged. God has not forgotten about you. And I also want to challenge you all the listeners who are listening to the What Now Radio, What Now God Radio broadcast right now, just take a moment out of your day. Go somewhere and get some quiet time. Open up your Bible or pull up your Bible app on your phone and just take some time out and read the entire chapter of Mark 4, okay? I pray that it will bless you as much as it continues to bless me. I just want to say stay encouraged. God has not forgotten about you. I pray that he shows up and shows out for you on this week. Commit every care, every worry, every fear to prayer in God. Commit your worries to God. Let go and let God. And on that note, thank you so much for joining in. Make sure you tune in every first and third Friday at 7:30 a.m. That's Pacific Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. on the East Coast. Tune in to the What Now God Radio Show and make sure to follow our page, What Now God Radio, on Facebook. I am your host, Cheryl Woods. God bless you. God bless you. And a happy Friday to all. See you all next time.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. Or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Made to Shine Inspirational Broadcast. This is our new episode for the month of March, and I'm glad you're here to listen in with me. I am your host, Sonya Nelson, and it is indeed a pleasure to have you with us. Today, I have a special guest who has been here before, and I want to go back and just tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Joy McCovery. Now, she was my guest a few months ago, and she brought us a word in reference to pausing. And today, she's going to do just that again, but this time based on her newly released book, The Pause Process. Joy McCovery is a humble servant of God who has dedicated her life to being the hands, feet, and mouthpiece of Jesus Christ with love and compassion. Her heart's desire is to see individuals living in freedom, wholeness, peace, and joy while living out their full potential in Christ Jesus. She knows too well the struggles of living a life crippled by issues of the heart, those sins and weights. Along her journey, she has encountered many individuals that were trapped in the same unfulfilling and unholy lifestyle, striving to live while the enemy slowly stole, killed, and destroyed the very essence of who they were and whose they were. It was not until Joy totally accepted Jesus Christ into her life that she began to understand her purpose and discovered her gifts in teaching and ministry. Since then, Joy has strived to do the work the Lord has created and commissioned her to do. Today, Joy McCovery is an anointed ordained minister, author, teacher, certified master coach specializing in soul care, confidence, transitions, grief, and effective communication, and certified conference leader and speaker. Her ministry style is hard-hitting, humorous, healing, edifying, and encouraging. It is at this time now that I bring to you my special guest for this week's episode, Ms. Joy McCovery. Joy, say hello to everyone.
Hello, listeners. Hey, hello, everyone. How are you doing this evening, this day? I'm so glad to be given the opportunity and chance to speak again to the listeners. And I just hope and pray that the topic that I discussed tonight will be something that will really change the essence of our mindset, that will change the essence of our mind to be able to get to a point where we can see things in a different way. And so tonight, we're actually going to talk about the pause. And we're going to talk about the pause process a little bit more. But I'm going to go back just a little bit just to remind everybody that the topic that I talked about was pausing. And I know for a lot of people, that might be a word that we've never kind of just took in consideration when we think about our life. Because so many times, we are always trying to be moving. And everybody hear the new terms. Everybody saying moving forward, keep moving. But there comes a time that we also need to pause. We need to stop. And so I've literally, since the time I've got finished talking to you all before, I've actually finished my book, which is entitled The Pause Process, Overcoming the Crash. And so a lot of times we don't realize that because we sometimes miss the opportunity to stop or to pause, it can lead into crashes in our lives. And a lot of times that's the time when we decide to stop, or that's the time where it's not even a decision. We actually are forced to stop. However, if we think about being able to be good to ourselves, being able to be good to other people, even being able to be good for God, sometimes we just need to stop and be still. There's a scripture that says that be still and know that I am God. And that's a lot of times we read the word of God and we speak it to people. But do we actually sometimes even internalize it for ourselves to be still and to know that I am God? And so with the pause is a divine opportunity to take a temporary stop. And so the name of the book is not called The Stop Process, because we're not saying stop everything and don't do anything. It's called pausing. And pausing is a brief moment. It could be 3 days. It can go up to a week. If for the Lord, it could be up for him. It could even be a year. but it's still just a temporary moment of stopping. Temporary. And that's the word I want to make sure that I emphasize, because during that moment, you are stopping to be able to do something so you can start again. And I want to say that, repeat it again. You are stopping to do something to be able to start again. So what I want to talk to you just a little bit about is the word pause. So how did I get to this pause concept, the pause process? I can tell you, if you get the book, it's going to be awesome and fantastic, but you'll learn so much about my life and my journey, because I was a person that was a busybody. And the Bible actually talks about being a busybody, and it's not a good thing. So a lot of times as women, and I could say men too, but as women, we feel like we have to do everything. We have to be the best wife, the best mom. We're doing a job to be the best at the job, to be a best friend, to be the best sister, to be the best daughter. We have all these things labeled on us to be the best of. So a lot of times we are trying so hard to strive, not in God, but to strive in ourselves to be the best of all these things. And eventually it starts wearing and tearing on our mind. It wears and tears on our emotion. It wears and tears on our physical body. It even wears and tears on our spiritual body. And we sometimes don't realize it because we're so busy in motion. Or even if we have a pain, or even if we have a scar, we still feel like we can get back up and still keep moving and keep moving and keep moving, until eventually anything that is getting all that pressure on it, let's think about a car. If we keep driving a car and never do the maintenance on it, never realize that it needs gas or oil, or the tires need to be changed. If we keep riding that car, keep pushing that car, eventually that car is going to come to a stop. Eventually that car is going to come to a halt. Eventually that car is going to be, and it's not have to be a physical crash where somebody hits it, but when it tears up, it's crashing. And so sometimes we don't realize that we can end up in a crash. Our lives can crash. Our marriages can crash. Our thought of being a good parent can crash. Our identity can crash. Our purpose and our dreams, which we thought, can crash, all because we were so busy moving and not taking the time to pause, to heal, or to even build up. So pausing is so important. It's very, very important. And I tell people all the time, it's a concept that God gave me. And just like I started off, I said, I was a busybody. I was a person that was a single mom. I was a teacher. Shout out to all y'all teachers that's holding it down right now. So I do understand the pressure of that. I had two daughters. I was trying to be a great church member back then, just going into the ministry, trying to be a best friend, trying to be the best sister, trying to do all of these things on my own. And that's the key word. I was trying to do them on my own. So what happened was my youngest daughter, ended up getting sick. And she got sick because she got pregnant early. She got pregnant at the age of 16. And when she got ready to deliver the baby, the doctor walked in and told us that her heart was going out. So for 10 years, we battled her getting a heart transplant, her getting getting an LVAD first and a heart transplant. We battled with her heart going in and out. We went through a lot. But during that process, and that's why I tell people all the time, even if you get a chance to read this book, a lot of times we don't understand that the crashing, the storm that looks so bad, is actually something that's being used to be able sometimes to get us to stop. I tell people, if it wasn't for when my child got sick, I would not be where I'm in today. If it wasn't for those moments that I sat in the hospital and couldn't literally do nothing but just sit in a waiting room all day and all night for weeks, I got a chance to see life differently. I got a chance to realize that I was moving. I wasn't paying attention to a lot of things. I wasn't present when I thought I was present in situations. I realized that my children were growing up and I was missing a lot of things, not because I wasn't seeing them, but emotionally and mentally, I wasn't there. Physically, I wasn't there. And so while I was going through that process and just sitting there saying, I told God that day, I said, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to stop. because a lot of times we feel like we never have the opportunity. I talked to so many people and they were like, well, Keisha, I just can't. That's fine. Because one day, just like all of us, we're going to stop. And we can either stop in a positive way, or we can be stopped in a way that might not be positive. You know, it's going to have a positive outlook, but it might not be positive at a particular time. So pausing was something that God put birth into my spirit, not because he just gave me a word, but I actually had to live it. I actually had to stop. I remember looking at my calendar one day when I was in the hospital. From January to December, I had every little block in that calendar filled of doing something. Because back then I was single, so I used to have that, you know, an idle mind is dangerous. So I was like, okay, let me make sure I fill up all my time so I can be able to, you know, stay in the Lord and not do this and not do that. So I decided to fill my calendar up. And let me tell you this, a lot of the stuff that I did was good. It wasn't stuff that was just stuff. I was helping out at churches. I was helping out at ministries. I was doing running here and I was running there. I was teaching. I was always trying to go to a conference and learn more. So a lot of times the stuff that we're doing is not bad, but is it beneficial for us at that particular time? Is it helping us at that particular time? So when I looked at the calendar, I was so amazed. And so one particular day I was at UAB, and you know UAB, if you ever been to the waiting room, they have this big old huge window, and I was sitting in the window and I was looking out because my daughter, she was having fever, so they had the room so cold, so I couldn't go up to her room. So I was just sitting there. And I looked and I decided to go outside. I was like, let me go outside. So I went outside and I was just sitting in this little waiting area, and they had this tree there and a bench. And I sat on the bench and I looked up at the tree. And this is the word that I said to myself. I said, Lord, it's been all right. Because my life was just that busy that I never slowed down. He showed me so much during that period of, Keisha, you've been running so that you've been missing the very essence of what I've created you to be or created to do, because you're so busy running, trying to do things that you feel, instead of coming to me and letting me show you how I can direct your life. So sometimes when pause come, it's coming to give us a stop. And why do we need to stop? To see what God is saying, to see what God is showing, to see what God is building, or to see what God is tearing down. A pause. That's why I said it's only temporary. But in that temporary moment, you're going to find out some things. Number one, what is God saying? A lot of time God wants to say stuff to us. He wants to give us the directions. He wants to give us instructions. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans that I have you, says the Lord. He knows the plans that he has for us. Plans to prosper, to give us inspect the end, not to harm us. But we rather sit there and listen to everyone else give us a plan. Sometimes we listen to people give us a plan. Sometimes we try to figure our own plans out. But he says, I know the plan. If you come to me, I know the plan. So sometimes a pause will come to stop us, or for us to stop to say, Lord, let me be quiet. Because I don't try everything. I tried everything. I know I've tried everything that people have said. And I'm still not getting anywhere. And he was like, pause and come to me. Sometimes he'll pause us so he can show us some things. Like that day I sat in that seat out there outside, he had to show me, Keisha, you've been so busy that you have not even appreciated my nature or the time that I give you to love on your children. The time I've given you to love on yourself, to go outside and to walk and to breathe and to appreciate the beautiful things that I've given you all, like the trees, the sun, the earth, me, to show us some things, to let me see before me, Keisha, I've given you this daughter that's 16 years old. What have you done in her 16-year-old life to be able to show her me, show her this? What have you been done with your other daughter to be able to do what I've called you to do for them? Or are you just doing things that the system say do or the world say do? A lot of times he want to build us in a pause. He wants to build us. A lot of times the storms that come in our lives is to build us, to let us know that, hey, that we are overcomers, that we are strong, that we are created in God, that he has given us power, power to overcome. So a lot of times we won't know that we have overcoming power until we go through something, until we go through a test, until we come out on the other side, or until we go through a valley and we still walking, we still moving. That's what he's showing you. I'm building you. You are built to be able to stand the test of time if you're built with me. Because if we're building ourselves with other things, those other things don't last. But being built and rooted in Jesus Christ is the only thing that lasts. And the last thing he's trying to do, sometimes he comes with those pauses to tear some things down. Because he had to tear me down to break me down. He had to let me know all the stuff that you've been trying to do and all these plans that you've been trying to have. Guess what? It came to nothing. I crashed. And I learned that, Keisha, you don't have the strength. You don't have the power. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the understanding to be able to move your life forward on your own knowledge, on your own strength, on your own ability, on your own will. We do not have the ability because God made us just a vessel. We're just a vessel. And if we allow him to fill us, if we listen to his instructions, if we utilize his power, which is the Holy Spirit, if we do all of these things, then our life can be able to move forward like we really want to do. But we'll be moving forward in the things that he created us to do and not moving forward in the things that we're trying to create for ourselves. What is he saying to you? What is he telling you to stop and to do for a minute? What is he saying? Is he saying stop and come to me? Stop and read more of my word? Stop and get quiet? Is he saying stop and stand still? What is he telling you to pause at right now? Because I know with this, with COVID that just came in, it made the world pause. It made the world stop and realize that God is great. Every system failed. The education system, the MBA, the banking system, jobs, everything came to a halt. So if God can halt the whole world, what do you think he can do with your life? If God can make us realize that he's great, what do you think that he can do in our lives if we take time out to just stop? And just like I said, every person is different. Every pause is going to look different. But the thing is, if we keep going forward and keep going forward and we're getting the same results, then there's nobody's fault but ours. Because he said, cast your cares upon me. In his word, he says, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. He's the way. He's the truth and he is the life. So whose life are you trying to have? Are you trying to have your own, or are you trying to walk in the things that God has called you to do? His purpose, not our purpose. The Bible says his good purpose. So in my last couple of minutes with you all, I just want to make sure that you understand that God really wants to change us from the inside out. He wants to change us from the inside out. He wants to get to our core, to the heart of things. He wants to heal our emotions. He wants to heal our body. He wants to heal our mind. He wants to heal our thinking system, our belief system. He wants to heal all of these things, but sometimes we have to slow down so we can stop to hear him. He wants to move in our life. He wants to be able to sit there and to take away and to show you what's the reason or the purpose behind the hurt. What's the purpose behind the pain? What's the purpose behind the trauma? What's the purpose behind the sleepless nights? What's the purpose behind all? He wants to talk to you because he's saying, guess what? These storms are coming to push you to me, to push you to your, to my arms, to push you to your knees where you get to the understanding that I don't have nothing else. Just like the lady with the issue of blood, she had to realize after 12 long years that there's nothing that I can do. My money can't do it. People can't do it. So she had to humble herself, humble her pride. And she had to go say, I'm going to seek. I'm going to find this person that I heard about. And when she got there, she saw all the people. And she had to realize, I got to get on my knees. If I have to crawl to get to my change. What are we willing to do to get to our change? Are we willing to keep moving forward, broken, hurt, confused, tired, misunderstood? Are we, is that what we want? Or do we want to have the opportunity to pause? To stop for a minute and say, God, guess what? Not my will, but thy will be done. I don't know, God, the plan. I don't understand the plan. I sometimes don't even see it, Lord, but I know that you do. And I know that you see me. And I know that you see my heart. And I know that you see my mind. And I know you see my body. And I know you see my concerns. And I know you see my issues. And I know you see my wants and my desires, Lord God. And I'm just trying my best to understand your will and your way. He is saying, daughter, pause and come to me. Son, pause and come to me. Pause. Stop. A divine opportunity to take a temporary stop. Just temporary, because let him fill us again. Let us, him give us the instructions again. Let him heal us from the inside out. Let him rebuild us. Let him shapen us. Let him sharpen us. Let him even comfort us for those that are hurting. For that pause, that crash could have been a loved one that passed away from COVID. That crash could have been losing my job. That crash could be losing a marriage. That crash could be all of a sudden I have all these bills to pay and no money to be able to take care of it. That crash could be somebody just told me that I have cancer. That crash could be anything. But I promise you, if you make it through the crash, overcoming the crash through the pausing, that God is at the end. Jesus is at the end waiting on us, with instructions to move forward. So we would know who we are and whose we are, and be able to move in this time and be beneficial, not only to ourselves, but beneficial to the kingdom of God and to the body of Christ. So I just pray that something I said tonight or today blesses you. I hope that you, if you get a chance to go on Amazon, find the book. It's called The Pause Process. I thank Sonya so much for giving me this opportunity. And I will see you and talk to you all soon. Thank you all so much.
Thank you so much, Joy, for your word. The pause process is indeed a process. Listening to you just expound on a lot of that. I just wrote some questions down. Well, that kind of came to me as you were talking. And it's like, you know, have we ignored our chance to pause? So many times, you know we, if we know anything, a lot of times we feel that nudging a lot of times when we need to stop doing something. But, you know, this in the other voice, we was just like, that can't be God telling us that, you know, that's not for me. That wasn't what he meant. But then I think about, has he given us, now, are we ignoring it? But, you know, have we acknowledged that he's given us an opportunity to pause or to stop? Mm-hmm. Sometimes what we may consider or think about as something that is stopping, we kind of take it in a negative sense.
Yes.
That, oh, he doesn't want me to do this or he doesn't want me to do that. But like you say, he wants all of us and he wants to be a part of all of it. And I know I can say I'm guilty of some of that, you know, just looking at it. When you feel like an opportunity is being taken away from you. And it's like, but God, this was something, you know, you said you'd give me the desires of my heart. This is something that I know you opened up. So why am I having to stop it now? You know, or vice versa. You know, you're in a situation where you may be trying to get out of it and God ain't opening up no other doors. Yeah. You're like, but why am I still here? You know, I'm not seeing why I'm still here. Don't you see what's going on? We know we start questioning a lot of things and, you know, And the last question that came when you were talking about, you know, are we being built during a pause? And that's the hard one because nobody wants to feel like you're being reshaped from something else. And you know, it's already the process itself is already hard because so many things are feeling like they're being cut away. Mm-hmm. You know, from people to the things, you're not able to do what you used to do. You know, there's just so much that goes into that. And it's just in some mindsets, you rather stay where you are than be like, God, I don't want to go through this process of being built right now. Don't you know how bad this hurt? You know, I can't do this. You're making me do this. But why? You know, we throw in all the little tantrums and all the little fits and the questions about what's going on. But at the end of the day, like you say, God wants all of us. He already knows what's going on with us. But it's just a matter of will we take that chance to pause. Yeah. And for me, that pausing has to involve loving on myself, because we can pause, but making sure we pause and take care of ourselves, you know, in that process of pausing and trusting God to take care of us during that time. And just believing he truly does have our best interests in mind. So I thank you so very much for sharing your words again from her newly released book, The Pause Process. My friend is an author. She is a published author. Hallelujah. I thank you for being a guest. As always, you are welcomed on the Made to Shine broadcast. Your words are indeed an inspiration. And like you said, you are hard hitting. And I think you all, she was just being light with you all today. She is a heavy hitter at times. She will lay it on you and you will be like, okay, Joy, just stop talking. Just stop. but I thank you again, sincerely for being a guest for this show. And for those of you, do check out her book, The Pause Process. I believe it is on Amazon. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening, I want you to keep on shining, loves, keep shining, and have a blessed day, week, month, even year. Talk to you next time, guys.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.